your source for everything paranormal.
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Merry meet everybody and welcome. My guest tonight is Teresa Reed, and we're going to be talking about her new book, The Cards You're Dealt, How to Deal When Life Gets Real. Now, Teresa's also known as the Tarot Lady, and she's a world-renowned reader and expert who's been reading and teaching tarot for about 30 years. And she's the host of a popular online Tarot Bites and Astrology Bites, and is the author of Tarot No Questions Asked, the Tarot Coloring Book, and Tarot for Kids, just to name a few. So if you're listening in live and you're in the chat room, you would feel free to ask questions. And if you're not here, you can come over to paraxradionetwork.com, and we'll be happy to answer anything that you've got to ask. So, Teresa, how are you? Hello.
Hey, Marla. It's so good to talk to you again. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm going fine, too. It's just, you know, it seems like yesterday, but it was probably a long time ago that you were here.
a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is a really interesting book, and I'm going to start out by saying it's a very unique book as well, not the run-of-the-mill books on tarot, because it's not a guide about predicting the future, but rather about coping with and healing some of the difficulties that things we all face every day. Where did the idea for the book come from?
Well, that's a great question, Marla. It actually came from a couple of different reasons. One of the big reasons was, you know, I've gone through a lot of the topics in this book. I've dealt with grief and loss and caregiving and illness and, you know, everything that most humans are going to at sometimes deal with in their lives. And I always found that tarot was very helpful for me to just kind of like unravel things and make sense out of what was going on. But also, as a person who's read tarot professionally for many, many years, when I used to read for the public, a lot of folks would come, not because they just wanted to ask about, you know, some tall, dark, handsome stranger, but they were coming because they were in crisis. They were coming because there was something pivotal and scary happening in their lives, and they felt like, I don't know what's going on, I'm scared, and they needed guidance. And sometimes the only place that was safe to talk about these things was the tarot table. So much of my work was navigating people through some very intense things. And I thought, you know, there needs to be a book on this. There's no book that tells you how to read when somebody is grieving or going through a pregnancy loss. Most of the books around tarot are centered on divination. Mm-hmm. And tarot is great for divination. I'm super into it. But sometimes also, tarot is a tool like a GPS to navigate when things are dark and you cannot see. And this book, I felt, was a way to not only give people tools so they can use tarot to deal with these issues for themselves, but also there's a lot of advice in there for professional readers so they can deliver readings that help and don't cause harm.
And you know, the book is useful for beginners as well as seasoned readers, right?
Absolutely. I made sure to, you know, first of all, include a lot of the, like, the tarot basics to make sure that people get accustomed to it. Because let's say, for example, you're somebody and you're going through, you just lost a loved one and you're grieving and you pick this book up and you don't know tarot. Well, there's going to be information in here, including interpretations, to really help you get comfortable with it right off the bat. But if you are somebody who is a intermediate reader or a seasoned pro, again, it has advice to delivering good readings and also a lot of spreads that I feel are really helpful for different situations. This is the stuff that I've used over the years.
And, you know, I mean, even seasoned readers need to learn things all the time. And we do, you know, if we open our eyes or ears or whatever, our mind. So, you know, it's just good to know that you're going to always learn something else. And there's a lot of stuff in the book that kind of got me waking up again. And it was really, really good. And see, you were talking about your grief, illness, death, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. But you are comfortable with the topics. And this book isn't a book about misery. It's a book about mm-hmm. hope. Huh?
About hope and also about really dealing with things in a pragmatic way where we're not, you know, sweeping it under the rug, or we're not doing toxic positivity, good vibes only. It's about really being present with what is and working with it and accepting these things and trying to understand them. You know, I'm very comfortable with these topics. I always have been. I think it's because, you know, in my childhood, I had a very large family. There were funerals constantly. I had a very sick mother. Mm. So I was doing a lot of adulting at 9 years old and having to help my parents navigate a lot of things. And so it's a role that I played even before I began reading tarot. And so topics like death or illness or, you know, any of that, it's just something that I'm very accustomed to it. I don't shy away from it. And I never treat any of these things like they are, you know, messes. It's more like, okay, well, here we are. We've got this situation. Let's feel these feelings. Let's process what we're processing. Let's try to understand it. Let's find a way to work through it. And I think that that is very helpful for mm-hmm. folks who are dealing with hard things in life. And it's just, again, it's kind of just my way. A lot of people are not comfortable talking about these things, and a lot of tarot people aren't, because there is no training for how do you deal with somebody. How do you talk someone off the ledge in your reading if they come to the tarot table and they feel like they don't want to be here anymore? Yeah. How do you guide somebody when they've suffered a tragedy and they are having trouble processing it or don't want to process it? Mm-hmm. How do you talk to somebody who comes to the tarot table and they are angry because they feel that somehow the universe has cheated them by taking away a loved one? We have to be ready for these things, and we have to be comfortable being in the presence of all the emotions that come up when folks are going through things, so we can, again, be there to help them. The greatest thing you could do as a tarot reader is witness someone's pain and be there without judgment, with just compassion. And I really, really hope that this book kind of brings that point home.
I think, from what I'm reading, I think it does. But I'm going to jump back a little bit. When did you start reading tarot?
I started reading tarot when I was a teenager. You know, like most teenagers, what are we doing? We're trying to figure out who we are. And I was a typical, very angsty teen. And I had the good fortune of having a friend whose mother happened to do astrology. Mm. Which was very unusual. I grew up in a rural area, and my best friend was an oddball like me. I was always kind of an alien out there. And so anyhow, when her mother said, oh, let me look at your astrology chart, I'm like, oh, sure. And it made sense. It made more sense than the stuff my parents were telling me. And I'm like, okay, well, there's something to this astrology. And so I started studying astrology first, and then I picked up a tarot deck when I was at the mall. One time when I was 15, I just saw it there. I was looking for astrology books. So I saw it. I'm like, oh, hey, I've seen this on TV. Let me get this tarot deck. And so I got my tarot deck. I brought it home. And I remember still the feeling of unwrapping that deck and the excitement, the curiosity, the confusion, the mystery, all of that. Mm-hmm. And I had a Marsai's deck. That was the only one that was available at the time. And those are terribly hard to read for a beginner, but I didn't care. I was gung-ho, because as soon as I started working with the cards and seeing stories unfolding and potential and answers and things to reflect on, I'm like, oh my God, this is my jam. And I have had a tarot deck in one hand and an ephemeris in the other hand ever since. So that's I mean, I'm going to be 60 in a year. So over 40 years of my life has been dedicated to study, learning, and, you know, reading for the public.
Mm-hmm.
And writing about it.
Yes, and very well, too. Got a question from the chat room. How do you get others to accept your decisions when there's no other way to do something? But in their minds and false information, there are ways that you... are ways that you can, quote, have not tried, but in reality have repeatedly, oh my God, tried and finally ruled out. Does that make any sense to you?
It's not making a lot of sense, but I think what I'm gathering here
yeah.
is that they're asking, how do you get other people to accept a decision to make, even if they don't get it?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you cannot get other people to accept your decisions. And that is a fact of life. I mean, there were things that I did in my life that my parents obviously didn't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
There were things that my children, who are both adults, have done that I've raised an eyebrow on. And I think it's really important when we are making decisions that other people don't agree with. Maybe for once, we want to step back and reflect on why they don't get it. But then we also have to ask ourselves, what are they, you know, are they looking out for me? Are they seeing something that I'm not seeing? Or are they just really having an attitude because they don't see what I'm seeing? You know, I think there's a need to be as open-minded as possible and not try to force our viewpoints on other people, but also to have boundaries so other people aren't doing that. I don't know if I'm even saying this eloquently, but I'm mm-hmm. a very much a kind of like a live and let live type of person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I am always like, okay, people got to figure their stuff out. And even as a tarot reader, you know, sometimes you give advice to people and you're hoping that the advice is going to be helpful. And sometimes it is. Sometimes people are going to do something entirely different. You have no control over that when they leave the tarot table. That is not your karma. All you can do is work on yours and hope for the best and hope other people's situations and the decisions they make are going to be for their highest good.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have a lot of people say, you know, it's a big responsibility to do readings on people because sometimes you have to, you see something that's really, really bad, you know, coming up. And some readers just will kind of go over it and not say it. Others will just be blunt and say, this is what you see. How do you do that?
Well, here's what I believe. First of all, I think brutal honesty is not good. I really mm-hmm. don't. I'm yeah. all about honesty. But when you deliver a truth in a way that is really harsh and you think you are, quote unquote, telling it like it is without sugarcoating it,
mm-hmm.
you may end up really creating a tremendous amount of harm or fear for that person. I don't think that's helpful. I really right. don't.
Mm-hmm.
But also to gloss over and say, oh, look, you got the Five of Swords, everything's great. Mm-hmm. That's now you're not being honest because you're not comfortable talking about that and you're afraid, you're letting your fears get in the way. So the best thing that we always want to do is we'd be honest what we see. And then also if we have, let's say, really scary cards, we want to talk then about, let's look at some strategies for dealing with this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I always say I'm more of a strategist than a fatalist, because yeah. even if you are dealing with something really hard and horrible, and by the way, I had like the world's worst year this last year with some tremendously awful problems going on in the family. But my whole thing is like, okay, this is terrible. This is what we're feeling, but we have got to come together as a family and let's work through this together. And we did, and we're almost through the gauntlet of this terrible situation. And using that as an example for a reader, it is so important to be honest, to be grounded, to look for strategies. So that way, when the person walks away from your tarot table, they are aware of what's going on and what the possibility is, but they're also aware of their agency and the things they can do to either steer the situation in a different direction or to find a healthy way to move through it. That's the best scenario. And so we have to bring compassion into every reading. And that also means sometimes you're going to have someone sit at the table and they're going to have a situation where they're doing something maybe that's really incredibly unethical, like maybe they're committing a crime or whatnot. Mm-hmm. You don't get to judge that.
Right.
That is not your role. Your role is to sit there and listen without judgment, with compassion, and to say, okay, this is where you're at. This is where it may be going. Let's see what you can do to get yourself on the right path. And mm-hmm. then once they leave, it's up to them what they decide to do.
That's good advice, actually. You know, because some people just say, well, no, I have to tell the truth. And, and other people can kind of say things in a better way, you know, and it works about a better way that way anyway.
Yeah, I think so. You know, when I was a very young, naive reader, I thought it was really good to not sugarcoat, just tell it like it is.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. There were some people who didn't like that, who thought, wow, you're really being harsh. You're being hardcore. And I remember, thankfully, all this stuff happened when I was very, very early in my career. I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe I don't need to do it like that. You know, occasionally there were certain elements of clients who did want to come in. They wanted a mother figure to kind of like yell at them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so occasionally there are people, you got to find that voice for those people. And there was one client that I used to see. I would rarely see her, but she would only come in when she was doing something really, really stupid in her life. And she goes, I'm doing something now. You know why I'm here. I said, you're here to get yelled at, aren't you? She goes, yeah. Wait till you see what I've been doing. And of course, you know, we'd lay out the cards and then she'd tell me what she was doing. I'd be like, oh my God, come on, girl. You know, so sometimes people do want that, but I think you have to know that that's what the person wants mm-hmm. and that that's how they want to communicate with you. But in general, we still, even still, you've got to bring compassion into it. You have to not be, again, brutal with your honesty.
Yeah. No, that makes good sense. But, okay, so you're talking about reading other people, but we can use readings for ourselves just as well as others. But there are some people who say you can't do a reading on yourself because you're either inclined to ignore the negative or try to justify in your mind what the cards are mistakenly saying. And, you know, I've got a mantra in my head that the cards do not lie, and, you know, mm-hmm. I face up with it. So what do you think about readings for ourselves?
Listen, when I started learning to read, I mostly read for myself. I still prefer to read for myself rather than get a tarot reading from someone else. So I'm going to be real frank about that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, for people who think they can't read for themselves, my friend Courtney Weber wrote a book called Tarot for One. I highly recommend that.
Yeah, it's Courtney's good.
Oh, Courtney's great. That's a really, really good book on the topic. But, you know, I feel this. There are techniques you can use. So, for example, one technique I tell people, if you want to read for yourself, you read the reading, and what you're going to do is you're going to deliver the information as if you're doing a reading for some complete stranger. Get into that mindset and then do the reading for yourself. The second technique that I really like is to just simply write down whatever you feel without filtering it, put it in a journal, and then close the journal, leave it alone, come back to it later. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we come back later, it's like, wow, that's profound. So I'm a real big believer in that. But, you know, if you really can't get your head, if you can't get your head out of it, you know, and what I mean by that, if you can't be objective, if mm-hmm. you are very invested in the outcome of your reading, then it's better to get somebody else to read for you. Otherwise, you know, in general, I mean, I do readings for myself all the time. And I find that I am very good at reading for myself because I just look at the cards like I like to say the dragnet technique, just the facts, bam. What do the cards mean? And I get myself out of the way and I always get information that's helpful.
Just have to keep an open mind and don't judge yourself either, too. You know.
Yeah.
And people love to do that.
And you got to get your feelings out of it because this is the thing. If you are invested in the outcome, and what I mean is, like, let's say I want to see a certain outcome and you're the type who only looks at the positive, like you mentioned, Marla. Well, that's all you're going to see, even if you end up with, you know, the tower at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're someone who's a pessimist, the other side of that coin, and I know a lot of folks like this, it doesn't matter. You got the sun at the end. They're still going to find the cloud in that sun.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're too invested. They're in their head. Get someone else to do the reading for you then. Leave it alone.
And those are the people that won't believe the reader either.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those, you know, I've had many, many people over the years that you give them the reading, they don't buy it. And they maybe get mad at you. And it's like, listen, I'm just a messenger. Well, mm-hmm. I'll never forget, I had a reading once. It was a woman. I was reading back in bars back in the day. And she sat down at the table, and I laid down the cards. I said, oh, there's going to be a massive expense, and it looks like it's going to be around your vehicle. I got the Chariot. And she laughed, and she kind of looked mad. And she goes, I just got a brand new car. That's so wrong. And I said, well, I could be wrong. I can, and I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. Well, I saw her a couple weeks later, and she sits down. She goes, oh, my God, you were right. I said, well, what happened to your car? She said, I got drunk and smashed it into a tree.
Oh, gosh.
So, I mean, yeah, it became very expensive. But, you know, it's really funny. Sometimes they get mad if they don't get told what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're just trying to do our job, folks, you know, and hopefully the information at some point rings true. And, you know, in some cases, Marla, there's people also you just don't connect with. Right. Either you just don't jam with them, or maybe they got an attitude, or they've been dragged there not by their own will, or they don't like you for some reason, or mm-hmm. they don't believe, or they're blocked, they don't want to know the information, or they misinterpret what you say. There are going to be those times where you do not hit anything. Sure. And I feel that keeps you humble. There's no shame in sometimes being wrong.
That's right. And that's life lessons in there too sometimes. So it's
absolutely
all good. Yeah. All right. So the first part of the book is about the tarot, learning the basics and the card meanings, as you said. I want to talk about card meanings
yes.
for a minute, because some people say each card has a specific meaning carved in stone, and they go along with that. But I've talked to people who use their personal intentions to mm-hmm. describe each card. So there's no right or wrong, is there?
I don't think there's any right or wrong. I think here's the deal. You know, there are standard traditional meanings, and those need to be honored. Absolutely. But we are also, at the time some of those meanings were developed, that was around, like, you know, what, 1700s, turn of the century, Waite and Aliette, those are a long time ago. In our mm-hmm. modern times, we're going to interpret those cards differently. Yeah, one of the cards, Five of Swords, for example, I see that sometimes as a hostile takeover of a business. I mean, that's a very modern interpretation. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I think is that it's important to, you know, understand the foundations, the history, the standard meanings, and those can be a wonderful springboard. But then you have to go with your intuition. What does that card mean? How is it going with the other cards? How does it apply to the situation or the question the person is asking about? And also, what vibe are you picking up? So let's say, for example, that you and me both go get readings. Mm-hmm. And we get the exact same cards in the exact same positions. Now, mm-hmm. if you go only by the quote-unquote standard meanings, we're both going to get very generic readings. And it's going to be, like, identical. And that's not the way it works. Because we are still two different people with different concerns. And a skilled reader is going to look at those cards and how they're going together. But also, what does this feel like for this client? And what am I feeling at this moment also? What symbols and signs am I getting? And that's how we put the reading together. So it's a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. So what about reversals? I mean, this goes on and on and on. Some do, some don't. what about them?
I always say, if you want to get tarot readers mad, bring up the subject of reversals and watch them squabble, because they're always going to have strong opinions about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I read reversals, and the reason why is not a very exciting reason. It's just that when I started reading tarot back in the day, the book I had reversals in there. I thought you had to read reversals. I didn't know. I was a teenager. I mean, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I was just going with the book. And so I did not know that people did not read reversals until, believe it or not, I was in the internet. And suddenly I see all these people who don't read them and who hate them and have strong mm-hmm. opinions. And I'm like, what the hell? And I had a strong opinion. I'm like, you're just lazy. And, you know, so there, but then what happened was, I've had some readers do readings for me with that don't use reversals, and I've had great readings, and it changed my mind. I'm like, oh, it's optional. Some people like them, some people don't. For me, I love them because they add 78 new ways of looking at the cards. And also, I have been a practitioner of yoga for many years. I used to teach it before COVID killed my studio. And BKS Iyengar, talked about inversions, and he said, you know, if you never do inversions, you become conceited because you only see things one way. And so I do like to think of that with tarot too. You get to see things more than one way, and I think it opens up your mind. But you don't need them. If they don't work for you, you can ignore them. You can use elemental dignities. There's plenty of other methods you can use. It's up to the individual. You got to find your own style.
Mm-hmm. And some people think, well, okay, if you don't use reversals, you'll never get a negative card. You know,
well, that's bogus.
Yeah, I know. They think it's either good or bad, but, you know, some of the reversals are very good. It's things like, okay, this is over now, go for it, you know?
I mean, the double reverse is like freedom. It's liberation. You're unchained. Come on now. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that usually works that way, but, you know, it's always going to be a challenge. You know, you ask one, ask the other, nobody's ever going to get it right. Do what you feel like is kind of the thing to do, right?
Find your own style.
Yeah. All right, now part two of the book is called Spreads for Guidance, and it's not just about spreads. I mean, you've got rituals, you've got exercises and tips as well. But I wanted to talk a little bit, we've got a couple minutes before the break, about spreads, because we won't find these spreads in any other book of tarot. For example, there's a grief spread. There's a three things right now spread. Mm-hmm. I like the medium guide, my guardian angel spread, mm-hmm. and the mediumship spread. I mean, these are wonderful. Tell me a little bit about the meeting guardian angel spread.
So the guardian angel spread and the mediumship spread are readings that I think are really helpful for people who are going through some heavy, heavy, heavy grieving. Because here's the thing, when we're grieving, what are we doing? We're oftentimes looking for signs from our guides, our loved ones who've passed on. And so that's what these spreads are really designed for. The guardian angel thing, you know, some people don't believe in angels. I'm open-minded to that. If you don't believe in it, it may be one of those readings that you kind of raise an eyebrow at. But I found that connecting with the guardian angel really helped me to ask some of the deeper questions. It helped to bring peace in my life. And for Aquarians, when I've done that spread for them, also it brought great comfort. I mean, both those spreads bring great comfort. And that's what ultimately what we want to do is we want comfort when we are not feeling happy, when we're feeling sad, when we're not feeling well. We want comfort, and that's what these spreads are designed for. The guardian angel spread, one of the things I like it for too is when you are dealing, let's say, with end-of-life things, and I've read for people who are at the end of life, this is also a reading that can be very helpful for them, because it can, again, let them know, hey, there's somebody on the other side that can help you. There is, again, it's comfort. So I really think that's the big thing. It's about comforting people.
And that's more important than anything else. I mean, sometimes, you know, with a reading, they don't get comforted. It's not horrible, but, you know, it's not what they want, maybe.
Right.
But, you know,
we've got to find ways to comfort people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really is it. We don't want to push it under the rug. We want to comfort them. When I used to read for people in my office, you know, I had a cat, and I had this one cat that just loved being present. He was like a diva, but what he liked doing was getting on people's laps. And for people who were grieving or going through things, they would request him to come and sit with him during the reading, because he was such a soft, loving, nurturing cat. And so they'd be getting this cat on the lap. We'd be talking about these heavy topics, and again, it brought comfort.
Oh, what a nice kitty.
Oh, he was wonderful. We miss him. He's been gone a few years now. There's nothing like this cat. I mean, this cat really, really, and if you ever talk to some of the clients who used to come to the office, they always will talk about, oh my God, that cat. That cat got me through something. Sometimes I thought these people came for the cat more than me.
Well, it was probably an extra, you know, perk or something to do. But yeah, I mean, you know, we all love animals and stuff. And, you know, have a cat purring on your lap and making you a little bit more comfortable. I mean, that's, can't get it better. So, you know, so you're the tarot lady with cat. With the cat. Yes. Yeah. That works really good. All right, we're going to take a quick break, so everybody stay with us, and we'll be back in just a few short minutes.
During the Cauldron, we'll be right back, so don't go away.
If you end up with webbed feet,
remember, you've been warned.
As you go about your daily life, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth, 50 years strong. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep. So look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help, go to covenanthouse.org.
Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction. We are ready to scare you.
Para X.
Missed an episode of Stirring the Cauldron? Then be sure to check out MarlaBrooks.com and check out the archive. And while you're there, check out Marla's weekly Witch's Oracle card reading. Explore the site to find many great resources, such as information on tarot, oracle readings, metaphysical consultations, and links to all of Marla's books. That's MarlaBrooks.com. Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
And my guest tonight is Teresa Reed, and we're talking about her book, The Cards You're Dealt. All right, so in the description of the Major Arcana, you give each card its a planetary association. So some people might know that astrology works and some don't with tarot. So why don't you explain how it fits into the readings?
Sure. First of all, I always have to remind people that I came through tarot through astrology. So I started astrology before tarot. And when I started looking at how astrology goes into tarot, I thought it made a lot of sense, actually. So in the major arcana, each of the major arcana are associated either with a planet or with an astrological sign. For example, the emperor is associated with Aries. And, you know, we might look at the, strength card that is associated with Leo. Every single one is associated to something. So, weight switched around strength and justice to make it fit with the order of the zodiac, because it used to be that strength card was number 11 and justice was number 8. He switched them around because strength became Leo and justice became Libra, so it made more sense. But anyhow, so we've got the high priestesses associated with the moon, et cetera, et cetera. And how this can work is, first of all, when we understand the planetary and astrological attributes, we can also see how that influences some of the energy of the card. For example, if we think about, let's go with the high priestess, the moon. The moon is changeable. It's intuitive. It's mysterious. And those are some qualities that we can associate with the high priestess. So we can look at it for that. We can also look at some of the astrological stuff for timing. So, for example, let's say you're asking about an event and you want to know when it's going to take place and you pull the Hierophant. The Hierophant is associated with Taurus. So it'd be the Taurus time of the year, which would be right around April 20th through May 20th. So astrology is actually very useful for timing, but also to give you, again, some clues about the energy of the card.
Okay. I'm trying to get so much in here, and I'm talking fast now. each card also has a practice. Now, what are those practices? Explain what they are and how they're working.
Sure. First of all, in my I've got another book called Tarot No Questions Asked. And Tarot No Questions Asked, I have what I call tarot sizes for every single card in the deck, just to help you to learn more about the cards, to get curious, to see how they go together. So it's something, that book is based on the lessons that I've taught with my students over the years. And in this book, I also have practices that help you to connect with the card in maybe a little bit more of a spiritual way. Because again, this book is different. It isn't just about, here's your straight tarot reading. We are working on, situations that are very emotional. And so a lot of the practices in here help you to connect with the cards, but also to connect with it on a more spiritual level. So they're just suggestions. They're like the tarot sizes, but more like little practices to help you again to connect.
That's good. All right. Another thing. Somebody just asked, is it important to pull a card daily?
Pulling a card daily is optional. However, I've been doing that ever since I started reading tarot. And this is why. I like kind of like starting off my day with a little bit of a like a touchstone. Like some people might get up in the morning, maybe they pray, they meditate, they read a book. Well, I like to read a tarot card. Let me pull this card. Let me see what this card is all about. Let me see what the energy for the day might be. So I like to do that. My daughter and I also pull cards together every morning from the Bohemian Fortune Telling deck, which is a newer deck from Baba Rock Studios. We love doing that. It's like, it sets the tone for our day. It starts it off on a fun, spiritual note. So I love it for that. I think it's great to use it as a reflection and then look at the end of the day, okay, how did this card work out? So that's one way. And the other thing is when you're learning tarot, it's a really good practice. Pull the card in the morning, jot down anything you're feeling, come back at the end of the day. How did it work out? How did it work out? I mean, that is a great way to start learning it. You're getting familiar with it. You're looking at it every day. So both of those things are reasons why I like them. It's fun, and also it's a good way. For me, I like to keep my chops sharp, so why not pull one every day? Some people think, oh, you don't need to do that, or, you know, whatever. And if you're, again, if that's not your jam, you don't have to do it, but I really dig it.
All right. Well, what about people that get addicted? You know, it's just they go overboard. You know, they have to have a reading like every 3 days from somebody, and then they go to one astrologer or reader. You know, just it could be an addiction. What about that?
Well, that's not helpful to anybody. I always say you never want to beat a dead tarot horse. If you are hammering the cards again and again and again, probably trying to get the answer you want, you're probably going to end up getting very confused. And my cards get very sassy when you pull that. Pulling a little card for the day for guidance, that's one thing. But asking the same question again and again and going to multiple readers to try to get the answer you want or to try to get confirmation because they're all going to supposedly agree on it, it's not healthy. You should leave the cards alone then. If you're approaching it like that, leave it alone. It's never going to work for you. And like I said, for me, if you pull that with me, my cards get really snarly. They do not have the patience for it. So it never works. It never works. I think your first answer is the one you want to go with and then leave it alone. Come back to it maybe in a couple of months later. I always say for most people, even though I like to do my little general guidance or if I got something I want some information on, I can use the cards. But what I never, ever do, I never come into it with this anxious pound, 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 pound those cards. Because I know that's obsessive. It's never going to lead to a straight answer. And in the end, I'm only going to end up getting more confused and aggravated. So I don't do that. I don't recommend that at all.
Okay. Do you use one particular deck only, or do you have a bundle of decks that you change off every so often?
Well, I like switching off decks for myself just because I get sick of looking at the same thing day in and day out. Mm-hmm. However, when I read for Querence back in the day, I was a Rider-Waite-Smith gal. And the reason why I use the Rider-Waite-Smith, and I still use it, if I'm doing something, you know, like a card for the day online. The reason why I still use that deck is because it's universal. It's a deck that everybody's familiar with. So most people, when you say the Ten of Swords, they know what you're talking about. So for that reason, I will tend to use it. I use a more updated version of the Rider-Waite-Smith. I use the Wiser Tarot. The Wiser Tarot's got some great soft watercolors, and it's got representation, which I think is really important. Mm-hmm. But it's still a Rider-Waite-Smith deck. So that is my go-to, what I call my workhorse deck. But for myself, I mean, I might use that deck. I might use my favorite deck, which is the Baroque Bohemian Cats Tarot. I might use the Kids Tarot. That's a deck I worked on. You know, whatever. I've got a lot of decks, so I'll just sometimes pick one randomly, reach into my little drawer and say, oh, what did I pick? Oh, goodness, I'm going to use the Frog Tarot today. You know, so you just want to, like, I like to mix it up for myself.
Okay. You know, over the years, people are sending me their decks, publishers and everything, so they want people to come on the show. But some of those decks that have come through were the weirdest thing. I mean, they called it a tarot deck, mm-hmm. but it was like I couldn't figure it out. There were all kinds of things that I would never even think about. And I don't know, what do you think? I mean, have you seen some of those things? Because they're really scary. You know, you look at it and go, this isn't a tarot deck. This, you know, this is something else. And I don't know why they call it a tarot deck.
Tarot has a specific structure. It's 78 cards, 22 are the major arcana, and 56 of the minor arcana. And within that, there are four suits, and within each suit are four court cards. That is the structure. And when people go messing things up and giving them a bunch of different names and stuff, I really, frankly, I'm a traditionalist with tarot. I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it. I find it confusing. And if I got to stop and look at the deck and say, what the hell does this mean? Sometimes that's really good for pushing your intuition. But other times it's like, you know, this is just making it frustrating because mm-hmm. it's not following any rules. And sometimes, too, deck creators will add a whole bunch of other cards in the deck. Mm-hmm. And I think you got everything you need in 78 cards. And sometimes when they add the extra cards, I'll use them. Other times I'll just be like, I'm not going to use you. Uh-uh. I'm going to take these out, put them aside, and I'm going to stick with the 78 cards. So I prefer people to stick as close to the rules so I know exactly what the hell I'm looking at mm-hmm. instead of making it so that I can't recognize it. I don't like that. There are a couple decks that don't follow the formula. And maybe I like them because aesthetically it's beautiful, or once in a while, again, I'm like, oh, I need to give my intuition a kick in the behind. So let me pull out something that I can't read. So now I got to force to really do the work, you know, which, by the way, that's a very good technique. If you get very stale with your readings, get a deck that you can't read head nor tails out of. Your intuition's going to have to do the work then to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get to know your deck.
Yeah.
Or somebody else's deck. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I appreciate artists and doing their own thing, but sometimes it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. I mean, we get used to it. And okay, so you have another, say they do a 72 or 78 deck, whatever, but none of them will be any of the real things. Like, okay, here's Mr. Bird or,
yes.
you know, Quacky the Duck. I just don't get it. I don't think it should be called tarot. You know, it's some kind of divination, but that's, you know, that's as far as it goes. But I just, you know, sometimes I've scratched my head and looked at them and I thought, no, I don't think so. I don't even want to open it very well. So that's the way it goes. All right. Now, in the major arcana, you start out by explaining the court cards, the numbers from ace to 10, and then there are pro tips and journaling prompts. Mm-hmm. So what are journaling prompts?
Oh, I'm a huge journaling fanatic. I love to journal. I got to burn some of these journals too. I'm like, oh my God, I got to burn some of these before I die. If my kids read them, they're going to be really mad. So, you know, I love to journal. I find journal, maybe it's because I'm a Gemini, but I find writing things down is very cathartic for me. Mm-hmm. It's a way where I can really work out some of the things that I'm feeling. So I just love it. But I also think, you know, tarot is so, first of all, tarot is so good for journaling. You can pull a card. It can be a prompt. It gets you thinking. And I think that's really good for us because we do need to do more reflection, and tarot can be helpful for that. Journaling also is a great way to learn your tarot. you know, if you pull that card for the day, you write about it in your journal, that is a way to get more familiar with the card. So whether you're using it for reflection or if you're using journaling to learn tarot, I'm all for it. I love journaling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So basically, how do somebody get started using the book?
The best way, first of all, is to get a deck that you love and get a journal so that you can take notes and write down your feelings. And then you work through the book as you see fit. Maybe you're going to skip right to a section that is associated with something you're going through right now. Let's say you're caregiving. Caregiving is very hard for all the caregivers out there. I salute you. I've been there. I've done it. It's one of the hardest jobs you're ever going to do. So let's say that's the thing that's on your mind. You can turn to that section, read the tips, try some of the spreads, write them down, and really work on processing whatever it is that you're feeling. So that's a great way to get started.
How about making our own spreads?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I mean, on my Oracle deck, they wanted a couple of spreads. So I made one that was the broom spread, and then the other one was the witch hat, because it was easy to put cards down there. And it was kind of fun to do it, but if somebody is thinking about doing that, how do they do it?
There's so many different techniques. One of my favorite techniques is from Gail Fairfield. I believe her book is called Choice Centered Tarot. And what she does in that book is she tells you that you come up with a couple of questions. Like, let's say we are going to ask questions about, we'll say my cat. And mm-hmm. I want to know how the cat is feeling. I want to know, you know, what does the cat need from me? Maybe I want to know, you know, what the cat's day is going to be like tomorrow. This is a very silly example, but let's just use that. Well, I can use those questions to perform the spread. Boom, boom, boom. What does the cat need from me? How's the cat feeling? What is the cat's day going to be like tomorrow? I've got a spread right there. That is the easiest way to create a spread. Come up with some questions and use it like that. You can even do like a reporter. What do the reporters ask? How, who, where, when, why? You can use that to formulate questions and to create a spread right there. So these are all easy ways to create spreads. There's also a book by Barbara Moore on cards, tarot card spreads. I think it's just called Tarot Spreads. That also has like a ton of spreads in it, but she gives her tips on how to create spreads. But I like Gail Fairfield's technique the best.
Okay. So I'm sure you do, but a lot of people do, readings for like current events or worldwide things going on, like wars and stuff. Do you do readings about those?
I do. And also I do political astrology. I do that over on my Patreon account. Because, you know, here's the thing. People want to know about what's happening in the world. We're not so myopic that we're only concerned about our own stuff. And so oftentimes people will come to a reader, and especially if there's some kind of an event happening in the world, and they want to look for some answers, some guidance, and once again, some comfort. I remember when 9/11 happened. Mm-hmm. When 9/11 happened, the whole work for the week canceled. Everybody was freaking out, but I had people calling me. And they were like, oh, my God, I need you to do a reading. Is Bin Laden coming to get me? I'm not kidding, by the way, when I tell you this. And I'm like, no, you live in Cedarburg. He doesn't give a crap about you. It's not happening. You know, so you can use tarot or astrology for world events, and it can be pretty fascinating. I love astrology for that, by the way. It's super interesting. But a lot of folks do like doing that. So, yeah, I will do that.
Yeah, because some people just think, you can only do it to people, you know.
No.
And sometimes, yeah, I knew somebody that would always do a reading for their animal, their pets.
Yeah, you know, of course.
Is the dog okay? Is the cat sick? You know, I mean, it's for everything. And multifunctional, I guess, is a good way to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like a Swiss Army knife.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. Somebody wrote in the chat room, some people might be like that, sticking their heads in the sand and ignoring events. Yeah, that's true.
And I get that, because sometimes things that are happening in the world are really painful and they're hard to look at.
Uh-huh.
And I get that. And sometimes you have to unplug because it can be too much. But one thing I always like to tell people is the world has always had terrible things happening because humans are humans. And it's important not to look away and to not lose hope, because even when there are horrible things going on, there's also a lot of beauty around us, and that's never is reported on. And Mr. Mm-hmm. Rogers said that when he was a kid, his mother said, in tough times, and I'm paraphrasing this, look for the helpers. There's always helpers. There are always people out there doing good things. So if we are willing to look at the things that are happening out there, perhaps we can become the helpers. Maybe we can become the ones who make a difference. So don't mm-hmm. look away. Look at what you can do instead.
Yeah, you know, I mean, some people just want to know what's happening, you know, very well, you know, how many children am I going to have when I get married and stuff like that. And I mean, that's fine, too. But some people go a lot deeper. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just, I guess, why you do it or why you don't. What about some people were asking about past lives and mm-hmm. readings? Do you do those?
You know, I played around with that, but I think that there are better uses of your time when you come to a tarot table, because you really can't prove a past life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't. You can only get things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It can be helpful sometimes for looking at ancestral patterns and unraveling that. That's not totally my wheelhouse. I've done it. I can see some value in it. But really, I prefer to deal with the present and what's happening right here and right now and how we can steer ourselves in a direction towards a healthier future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, but some people just go for readings for the wrong reasons.
They do. Yeah. And also, I've come across people who don't want to take responsibility for their lives. And sometimes saying, well, I can blame it on this past life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way
mm-hmm.
then of not taking responsibility, of not stepping up and saying, well, gee, maybe I'm in this pickle because I made these terrible decisions. Mm-hmm. Maybe your life is not the result of past life. Maybe it's a result of some choices that you've made. And that's a very hard thing to swallow, because mm-hmm. a lot of us want to believe that life just happens to us. But that's not true. A lot of what shows up in our life, I mean, there are things we can't control. There mm-hmm. are things that do happen to us, but there are a lot of things that are the consequences of actions and thoughts and choices. Mm-hmm. And so my hope always is that tarot gets us in the present moment and helps us to be mindful. So we start really thinking about, hey, maybe I should make a better decision.
Well, some people will take a reading, and if something goes wrong, well, they did it. You know, they made the reading, and that made it happen. I had nothing to do with it, kind
yep.
of thing. It's a crutch, too, sometimes.
It can be an absolute crutch. It could be an opportunity to blame somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that every time that I had drama in my life, most of the time it was because, again, oh, my God, I made an impulsive choice. And it was usually around men. You know, and it's like, I can't blame tarot for that. I blame the leather pants, you know, and that's what got me into trouble. And once I started actually being a lot more mindful and thoughtful, I thought, you know, maybe that situation isn't such a good one and this is looking better. You know, my life got a lot better. Doesn't mm-hmm. mean it was perfect. There's still things that can happen. But I've definitely dealt with things a lot better than I did back when I was younger, and a far more free-spirited and that's a kind way of saying irresponsible human. You know, I got in mm-hmm. plenty of trouble, but yeah. I learned from those things. And I also sure. learned that, you know, this maybe would be different if you put a little more thought into this.
Mm-hmm. Well, as always, it seems like we just get started and the clock starts spinning, but before we know it, it's time to almost go. But, before we totally run out of time, I want you to give out your website, because there's so many goodies over there, like the 2024 horoscope, mm-hmm. both generally and then by each sign month to month, which is really great. And, you know, I always say forewarned is forearmed. But you've also got blog, classes, workshops, events, mm-hmm. books, podcasts, a lot of stuff. Anybody go over there, you're going to spend a few minutes. Not going to be like, oh, peekaboo, and I'm gone. So where can people find you?
Thank you, Marla. The best way is to go to the website, thetarotlady.com. That's where you'll find access to everything, including my classes, my Patreon account. And also, I'm on, you know, social media. I'm mostly active on Instagram and Threads. I am also kind of poke around on Facebook, but mostly Instagram and Threads.
Yeah, so you're easy to find.
And, I am.
Are you doing any classes coming up soon that people might be interested in, or workshops?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I do ongoing workshops in tarot, astrology, and business over on my Patreon account. And I'm also having an advanced tarot techniques class, a four-part series happening in April. And folks can learn about that. Just go to my website and click on classes, and that'll show you all the things coming up. I'm also going to be doing a live class in Canada in October, where I'm working with Sarah Selecki, and we're going to be teaching using tarot for writing.
Oh, interesting. All right. And then, you know, there's events. And as I said, the books are there. So everybody jump over there and see. And it's probably there's a place to contact you there as well. So, you know, for questions or, you know, whatever. So thank you for sharing the book. I mean, I really learned a lot. It made me think, which, you know, sometimes it's surprising, but it did. So thank you for sharing and being with us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so great to connect again, Marla.
Well, you've got a lot of reason to connect and come back, so we can do this again.
I would love that.
And let's thank everybody for listening in. And until the next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2024. The Mysterioso March by Kevin MacLeod is licensed through Incompetech.com.